Good evening, everyone. We're good? Okay, wonderful. Okay, great. All right, welcome to our continued Shiurim on Tefillah. It's so wonderful to see everybody. I hope you can hear me. We're on some new equipment, so you'll have to bear with me as I learn how to use pretty much the updated version of everything I've been using up until now, which of course throws me for a complete loop. But Amir Tzashem, it'll all be good. All right. Give me one more moment. Okay, there we go. Okay, so everyone can see me, everyone can hear me. We're doing well. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So the bracha that we are looking at this evening is the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. Don't get nervous. Everything is wonderful. The bracha of Baruch Aleinu, the bracha of Parnasa, one of our favorite brachos. What? I'm great, yeah. Everything is wonderful. Okay, the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. The bracha of Baruch Aleinu is the bracha called Berchas Hashanah. So let's begin now. If you look at this bracha, let's just look at the bracha together for a moment, and then we'll look at our sources. So the bracha begins, Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu es Hashana Hazos. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, you should bless us. We'll get into all of this. Hashem Elokeinu, also interesting, including two different descriptions of Hashem, both Rachamim and Din, both God of mercy and God of justice in a singular formulation. Es Hashana Hazos, this year. It's a bracha for this year, which itself is interesting. We'll have to understand why we're relating to that particular period of time. It almost sounds like a Rosh Hashanah bracha. It almost sounds like a bracha that's more appropriate for Yom Narayim. So what does that mean? Es Hashana Hazos. Ve'es kol minei yisvu'asa letova. And for all of the different crops, and for the best, letova, that it should be good. The same bracha, and you should give blessing, or the same talu matar livracha, you should give dew and rain for a blessing. Al pnei ha'adama, on the earth. V'sabenu mituvecha. And we should be satisfied, from the word svia, right? V'achalta v'savata uverachta. It's not enough to just eat. It's not enough to just have. We want to be satisfied. We want to be satiated. Uvarech shenasenu, and again that word shana, and you should bless our years, kashanim atovos, like the best years. This year should be like the best of the years. Baruch ato Hashem mevarech hashanim, the one who blesses the years. So this is a fascinating bracha, because on our list of brachos that we're a little bit more focused in, on our list of brachos that we're able to connect to, on the list of brachos that when we think about their ongoing relevancy and resonance to our life each and every day, there's no question that this is near the top. We need health. We need wisdom. We need personal redemption. We need to be able to grow. But sustenance, if we don't have parnasa, if we don't have what we can eat from, if we don't have what can keep us alive, so then there's not much we're going to be able to do with anything else. But it's an interesting bracha, because as soon as we recite those words, Baruch Aleinu, our consciousness shifts into a modality of, oh, this bracha, this, I have something to say here. I have something to say here. I have work, or I don't have work. Or I do have work and I want the work to be better, or I want a raise, or I want a better boss, or I want to be able to be successful at my assignments, or I want to get a job altogether. Who doesn't have? Either you're looking for work, or you're looking for work to be more successful, more impactful, more financially successful. Who doesn't have something to include in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu? So when we think about it as sort of just a conceptualized blessing for sustenance, so then it sounds very, very relevant. But if we were to actually, and I think that's what some of us kind of do, we make our way through the bracha with the mindset that that's what it's about. And then we reach a certain point where we include our own particular requests that relate to our world of parnasa, our world of livelihood at this moment. And then we end it off, Baruch Atah Hashem Mevarech Hashem. But if we actually take a step back, and if we look at the text of the bracha itself, as we have been finding in so much of Shmoneh Esrei, not just as a thematic sort of categorical, overarching, you know, broader blessing, but rather the text, the detail of what it is we're actually saying, it begins to be very striking in terms of what the formulation is here. There are a lot of themes that are difficult to understand what they're doing in this bracha. The whole way the bracha is phrased as a bracha for the year is in and of itself fascinating. And so therefore it requires a certain level of depth and understanding in order that we should be able to have greater concentration and focus in terms of what precisely we are davening for. And that's our goal tonight, to try to extrapolate these themes, the themes of the Birchos Hashanim, the bracha that we say in Shmoneh Esrei, where we daven for Parnasa. And as we will see, by the end of our shiur tonight, we'll have many different things that we're thinking about during this bracha, many different layers that relate to the world of Parnasa and the world of our livelihood and the world of sustenance for us as human beings, but many different layers that are not just we need money, we need salary, we need profits, but rather broader than that. What does it mean to be sustained by a Kodesh Baruch? Does it always mean that we need more? Does it always mean that we need exactly a certain quantitative amount? Or are there many different dimensions to what it means to be a human being that is benefiting from the providence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu insofar as how we are able to support ourselves financially in our lives? What does that mean? And that's our goal for tonight. So here we go. Let's begin with source number one. I posted the sources in the Zoom. I hope that you got it. I'll post them one more time. And here we go. Source number one comes from the Gemara in Megillah, misspelled, but the Gemara in Megillah, or Migla, as some of the ancient traditionalists would call it. Andaf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Umaro Lomar Birchas Hashanim Batishis. So asks the Gemara, why is it that we find this bracha as the ninth bracha in the sequence of Shmoneh Esrei? We've seen this Gemara many times already. This Gemara is preoccupied with the question of order, of sequence of the brachos. And more so than just the sequence, the positioning. Why does the Birchas Hashanim occupy the ninth position in the Shmoneh Esrei? What is so special about the energy that pulsates from that spot in the Shmoneh Esrei, from the ninth spot? What is so special, so unique, that relates to the bracha of Birchas Hashanim? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Alexandri, and I included the translation on the side, Keneged Mafkin, and I apologize, mine are a little small, Keneged Mafkin She'orim. So says the Gemara, that the bracha of Birchas Hashanim is intended to somehow neutralize the intent and the efforts of those who seek to raise the price of food. What does that have to do with the ninth bracha of Shmoneh Esrei? It was up to do with the number nine, says the Gemara, Dichsiv, as it says in Sefer Tehillim, which the Gemara is presuming is in the ninth chapter of Tehillim. In our Tehillim, it's printed in the 10th chapter because we combine two earlier ones, because we separate two earlier ones, but it's written as the ninth. And the Gemara says the following, Shavur Zarua Rasha, that the break the arm of the wicked. So all those who have read this Kapitel of Tehillim know that it is all about the fact, a reality, that there are evil people in the world. There are people who seek to destroy and to assault others. We recognize that that is a reality. And David HaMelech cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous detail about the manner in which individuals strive creatively to sow discord and destruction within the lives of others, and a cry and appeal to the Ribbono Shel Olam to disrupt those plans and realign the world and people's lives in terms of where they should be. So the Gemara says, it quotes this pasuk, and David, ki amra b'tishis amra. It says, break the arm of the wicked. That's what he says. Shavur zeroa rasha, referring to people who are evil and people who do things that prey on the poor. And the Gemara interprets this specifically as referring to those who manipulate market prices to the detriment of really everyone, but certainly to the detriment, most notably, of those who lack the ability to pay what they need to pay. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, so that's first of all a little bit out there. What does that have to do with the bracha, birchas hashanim, the fact that people manipulate market prices? So the Maharal writes in his Derech Chaim, on his Perush in Avos, the Maharal, in interpreting this Gemara, if you look at source number 2, Avala Perush, what does this really mean? Ki shem Rasha. What human being do we refer to as a Rasha? We don't so quickly identify people as evil, right? What behavior qualifies as a Rasha? Nofel al also hayotze min haseder haroi asher sider Hashem yisbarach. So the Maharal says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a certain level of systematic expectation of where things should go, of how things should unfold relative to general society and its ability to function in a fair economic way. And individuals who exploit that system and essentially divert what would be the natural normative fair outcomes, what is really a result of the social contract that people have with each other to treat each other fairly, that is ultimately anchored in a observance of the Torah expectations of how we conduct commerce. So if everything is running financially in a society in a fair way, consistent with Torah values, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu has provided, and we'll get to that, Kadosh Baruch Hu has provided the underlying shefa, the underlying bracha of success, then that success should be distributed in an appropriate way. Doesn't mean that everybody gets the exact same thing. Doesn't mean there aren't poorer people and richer people. But there is a natural derech hateva with the way the world works. And when people disrupt that and infiltrate it and exploit it in a manner that diverts what's natural and what's normal so that people now completely collapse under economic distress. So that individual who does such a thing, that individual is a Rasha. Asher sidr Hashem yisbach, bazen nikra Rasha, lefichach mafkiei ha-sha'arim, people who raise the price of produce when it doesn't need to be raised, when there is a ample supply, and the laws of supply and demand, the laws of commerce, and the market forces would not naturally result in such an oppressive pricing structure. Kadosh Baruch Hu's done what needs to be done. There's enough for everyone. We just have to charge what's appropriate. And you can have an economy, and some people can afford more, and some people can afford less. But Yatzah Ashar, there's a fair market price of what should be. So says the Maharal, Mafkiei Hasha'arim, Hamotziim Seder Ha'olam, excuse me, Vehei Mafkiim Hashar, Ze HaRasha HaYotzei Min HaTzedek HaShoveh. And that's what these individuals do. And so what does David say? The David Omar Mizmor HaTshi Al HaRasha, and David expresses this ninth Mizmor in relation to this Rasha, Shavur Zeroa Rasha, Lekach Tiknu Birchas Hashanim. And therefore, says the Maharal, that's why Chazal established the bracha of Birchas Hashanim, the bracha of sustenance, Shu Keneged Mafkiei She'arim, Shehem Motzim Seder Ha'olam Minash. Because that ninth perek of Tehillim addresses these individuals that serve as this external disruptive force in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought to the world as its deserving shefas, its deserving quantity of sustenance, of bracha. Behem nikru b'prat rishoyim kavu gam kein b'tashi. And so therefore, they're in the ninth, this is in the ninth, and then he goes on to talk about the symbolism of ninth and tenth and other things. And the question is, that what does this have to do with the bracha of Parnassa? So there are crazy people in the world who set up Ponzi schemes and price gouge. And, you know, we just went through the toilet paper shortage of 2020. And, you know, people who were doing all sorts of things to prices, and people had to get involved, and people who bought masks and then tried to sell them at higher price. So there are, you know, there are people in the world who disrupt what the normative approach is to economic activity. What does that have to do with your tefillah of Birchas Hashanah? What does that have to do? I'm getting up in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and I'm saying, I want to make a living. I'm a farmer. I want rain. I want crops. I want a good yield. I'm an accountant. I want some good clients. I'm a lawyer. I want some good cases. I'm a rabbi, lost cause. No, I'm a, you know, I want a good salary, a good bonus, a good mechiras chametz year, whatever you want, whatever you're dominating for. What does that have to do with these crazy people who are disrupting the world order economically? And this is a fair and serious question, because the Gemara anchors this entire bracha in the ninth space because of this, because of addressing this challenge, this problem. So turn to the next page, and this is the Sifsei Chaim. And the Sifsei Chaim tells us in source number 3. The Sifsei Chaim tells us in source number 3. Shavar Zeroa Rasha Mefarash Rashi. Elo Mekirinus Atvuam Afkinus Ashar. These are the people who sell grain for inflated prices, and they disrupt the market value. Kolomar kaimas afsharis she'anim HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosim bracha b'yibulim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave bracha to the crops. There's enough. V'yesh harbe tivua. There's a lot of grain. Aval mafkiyah she'arim malamis mechir. But these people raise the price. V'ovin malachosi. Kedei she'amechir yeh yakar v'imkein. Ein toiles v'birchas Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosim. So then it doesn't help that God gave a lot of produce that year. It doesn't help because it can't reach the people who are the beneficiaries of it because they've been priced out. So you have these middlemen who are disruptors in the distribution process from the bracha of the Ribono Shalom to people getting what they need. Akeinanu mispalalim shakadosh baruch hu yitein mazon b'shefa kazeh. So what the Sifsei Chaim writes is, so the bracha is, and we're down into Kadosh Baruch Hu, that when you calculate the number, the extent, when you calculate the how, when you calculate the way in which this sustenance is going to emerge within the world, do it in such a way that these people cannot prevent it from getting to those who ultimately benefit from it. So what is this about? Why is this Birchas Hashanah? And the answer is as follows. I believe the answer is because right out of the gate, the Siddur is teaching us a very fundamental lesson about our parnasa, about how we make a living in this world. And that is that we're not just seeking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing in the bottom line. We're not just seeking a Kadosh Baruch Hu's blessing in sustenance on a quantitative level. There is the quantity of bracha, the quantity of parnasa that we need. And then there is the very complex landscape within which human beings experience life that has so many factors which determine the manner in which that bracha actually comes to fruition. And just a bigger bank account is not a fulfillment of Birchas Hashanim. Birchas Hashanim is not just about how much Hashem is going to give to the world. It's about the human experience of how that sustenance will be lived, will be enjoyed, will be processed, will be internalized, will be utilized. That's all part of this picture. So, and we know this, right? Because we know that one can be locked into a certain salary at the beginning of the year, and that salary could basically be guaranteed for the remainder of the year. But all sorts of things can happen. Things can happen like you no longer commute, so you have no easy pass, and now you have more money to spend. Things can happen that there are expenses you never anticipated. God forbid a crisis or a problem, and you have to spend more money than you anticipated, and now what's left for sustenance is much less. So the relationship between how much we get and how that quantity manifests itself in the sustaining force of our lives is complicated, and it is filtered through many, many layers. Birchas Hashanim, the bracha of davening for Parnasa, is not just recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a source of the sustenance itself. That's not enough. Just to say that God could take your salary from X amount to 10 times X amount. It's not just that. There are a million different ways that your sustenance can play out in your life, both Latov and Lara. And when we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're davening for a big picture. We're davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervene and bless all layers and all elements of this aspect of our lives. That not just give us a raise, not just give us the right job in the right place, in the right circumstances, with the right benefits, with the right circumstances of life that need to draw on those benefits, with the right balance of unforeseen expenses, with the right balance of what you didn't realize you would get that you did get. We're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a certain sense of letting go of the area of life where we experience the most kochi ve'otzem yadi. We discussed last week the bracha of Refa'enu, where because of medicine, because of modern medicine, we feel like we're more in control than we used to feel like we were in control. When it comes to Parnasa, this is the area of life where human beings tend to feel the most in control. So what the Siddur is teaching us by positioning it at the ninth bracha and evoking this far-fetched factor that has an influence over how we ultimately experience our Parnasa, is what the Siddur is telling us is that when you daven for Parnasa, you're not just davening for a number. You're davening for a lifestyle of sustenance that has within it all of the layers of bracha. And those layers are part of what we're going to explicate tonight. But the layers of bracha are that you can benefit from it, that you can enjoy it, that you can grow from it, that you can devote yourself to the right priorities because of it. It's all connected to a larger set of life values. And that's part of what this bracha is about. So let's turn to source number four. Source number four is the Sifsei Chaim. Baruch aleinu Hashem Elokeinu es hashana hazos. Yesh lahavin. Madu anu mevakshim shakadosh baruch hu yivarech davka es hashana. Why are we asking for a bracha on the year? We're going to say this tonight. We're going to say it 6 hours from now. We're going to say it 4 hours from then. Another 2 hours from then. What's the shana? What's the year? It's a daily bracha. So haya aleinu levakesh yivarech hasano bechlalos. We should ask Hashem just generally bless us with sustenance. The lo rak es hashana. So zos va'od, and another question, madua bracha davka lishana hazos. Why are we davka making a bracha for baruch aleinu Hashem Elokeinu es hashana hazos? So yesh levar al pi divrei Avnei Eliyo shekosav writes the following. L'chei nikri shana shebechol shana yeshin nun heyam. In every year, there are Shin Nun Hei, Kufrei Shin, 355 days. Kenu Mispar Yom Mishnas Levana, that's the lunar year, Kasher Cheshen V'Kislev Melei, when Cheshen and Kislev are full. Gam, so Shana, on one hand, represents the static counting of a certain established concrete time frame. And that is sort of anchored and positioned. Gam shana milashin shinui. But the word shana also has connotations of change, of shinui, what it means to change. Hibichol shana, because within this, these the boundaries of every singular year, says the Sifsei Chaim, yesh onos, there are seasons, shebichol achas mehem, mezegav yershona, that the weather is different in each and every part of the year. Kar v'chom, ksham and v'yovesh, you have cold and hot, you have rainy and drought. V'anu mivakshim shekol ha-shinuyim yu l'tova. V'zeh ma she'anu omrim baruch aleinu es ha-shana hazos. Es kol ha-shinuyim shebo l'tova. So says the Sifsei Chaim, when you daven for this bracha, you know what you think about when you say baruch aleinu Hashem Elokeinu es ha-shana hazos? You're asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring bracha to the volatility of the year. That's what you're asking. You see, when you think about sustenance, let's be honest, we all think about a fiscal year. We do exist within a fiscal year. We don't really exist within a health year. We have an annual physical. I tried to get my annual physical scheduled at the dot when it's supposed to be annual, because everyone should have an annual physical. And they pushed me off for 3 months because they were backed up because of COVID. So I can't get the physical until a little bit later. So, all right, gives you more time to get in shape, right? But the but we don't think of health generally as a year. Health is a general progress, rather doing better or worse. But the bottom line is the health just relates to the totality of our experience. But when it comes to our finances, it's natural and it's normal and it's intuitive to the world that you look at your financial picture over a particular period of time. There's a shana, there's a year. And so therefore, there's a certain sense. You take a step back and you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need within the boundaries of this measurement, I need bracha. But the other thing we're davening for, we use this word shana, is I need not just the shana, the fiscal year. I need not just the quarterly report for this year, that when I hit the end of December, that it should be solid, it should look good. But I need also the Baruch Aleinu es Hashana Hazos, all of the changes that are going to occur in this year, whether predictable, unpredictable, whether they are disruptive changes or encouraging changes, whether they are human initiative based, whether they are circumstances, Baruch Aleinu as Hashem Elokeinu as Hashana Hazos, bring bracha to the volatility. When you bring bracha to the volatility, then that creates a certain degree of menuchas hanefesh, a certain recognition that, you know what, I'm going to go in today, it may be a little better, it may be a little worse, the markets may be higher, the markets may be lower, it could be that my boss is happier today, my boss is not as happy today. And in the human experience, that volatility is very uneasy and it makes us very anxious. What we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for is don't just give us a pot of money. Be careful in New Jersey now, right? Don't just give us a pot of money, but rather give us bracha in that volatility. Give us bracha that no matter which direction things are going, that that things will be what we will need. Now we're in source 5. How are we davening every single day for Parnasa when Chazal tell us the Gemara in Beitza? Chazal tell us of the fiscal year, the spiritual fiscal year, that Hashem decides how much mazon we're going to have at the beginning of the year at Rosh Hashanah. If everything's set from the beginning, so what are you doing? You, on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem decided you had till Yom Kippur. Maybe you pushed it from Yom Kippur all the way to Hoshana Rabbah. But by the time you were clapping those aravos on the floor, kol mevaser mevaser v'yomer, we're done. You have your parnasa for the year. Nichtav v'nichtam. finished. So what are you davening three times a day? And I know you're negotiating. Is that what's happening here? We're Jews, you know. I know we said we do it at 4% growth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Epis, you know, I think maybe we can move it to 5%, maybe. Okay, not 5, maybe 4.5. You're negotiating? Is that what you're doing? Shem said, this is what you're going to get. We're done. So says the Sifsei Chaim. So what are you davening for? So he writes, Be'emes ha-Gemara asmever ha-Shelem Yitzus. He says, the Gemara itself clarifies this when it comes to when the Gemara discusses the concept of rain, how much rain has been decided for the Jewish people. And the Gemara says, Afi matzavam aruchani shel Yisrael bizman adin. Hashem decides how much rain we're going to get for the year based on the spiritual disposition of the Jewish people at the time of judgment. The achar kach kasher magia hazman liyiridas ha-geshamim. And then, when the time for yiridas geshamim comes, Hishtansa dargasam l'tova o l'ra, eich teitze agzera l'poel. So he says, so what was decided on Rosh Hashanah? What was decided on Rosh Hashanah is how much rain. What was not decided on Rosh Hashanah is in potential. What was not decided on Rosh Hashanah was the applicational manifestation of that potential. No. How will that rain be distributed? How will it be experienced by the world? And he writes that Hainu Hashkachaso Yisparach Aleinu Bitzmidus B'Kol Yemos Hashanah. That providence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be different each and every day of the year. Even though everything was decided on Rosh Hashanah, Val Itim Letova, Itim Lera, Given Mesha Kol Yemos Hashanah, Donim B'Shamayim, Eich Agishamim Shagazer B'Rosh Hashanah Yatzu L'Poel. And then he goes on to describe how Hashem could decide this is the amount of rain you're going to get. He could then distribute that rain in a more brachistic approach or in a more klolistic approach. How? So Hashem decided we're going to get, I don't know units of rain in the world. Hashem decided we'll get X amount of rain. So that rain could fall all in the winter when it doesn't help anybody. That rain could fall all in the mountain regions where it doesn't help anybody. That rain could fall all in the ocean where it doesn't help anybody. Hurricanes or big storms could change course inexplicably, right? They're always headed to Boca, right? And then all of a sudden, no. They're going north, they're going south, they're going east, they're going west. So things change. So the rain, what the potential for the rain was decided Rosh Hashanah. And that amount of rain is going to fall in the world. But it could be purposed. It could be purposed either in a manner that is incredibly beneficial for the world, or it could be diverted from benefit for the world. So the rain, and then he goes on to say, even if you, let's say we got a Gzar Din, a very little rain. So very little rain too. Very little rain could all fall in the ocean, in the mountains, in the rivers, in the dry season, when in the winter, when it doesn't help anybody. Or very little rain, if we're deserving of it, could fall with absolute precision. There could be a world drought, and on the fields of Eretz Yisrael, there's a Shefa Gemur. And everything fills up, and there's no more leptospirosis in the rivers of Israel when you go touring with your friends, and everything's washed away, and everything's amazing, and there's no problems. Rain can fall in a bracha, rain can fall in a klala. So the amount, the potential is decided on Rosh Hashanah. So we want to daven as hard as we can on Rosh Hashanah because we want that potential to be as expansive as possible so that it needs the least amount of intervention and the least amount of rachamim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to direct it in a positive way. If the whole world is zocha to lots of rain, so if we weren't zocha to the perfect amount of rain in this spot at this time, so then, all right, but there's a lot of rain going on in general. We'll be okay. If it's very narrow, it's much more difficult, but it's not limiting. And so therefore, what are we davening for? We're not davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us something that's beyond the potential of what we deserve. That was for Rosh Hashanah. We had an obligation over the course of Elul and over the course of Aseres Yemei Tshuva to transform ourselves into individuals that we're worthy of the beneficence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to give us this bracha, this rain. If we did it, great. And if we didn't do it, then we have a challenge. But either way, it's on us every single day to prove our worthiness, that the way in which this blessing is actually manifest in our lives is in a way that is helpful, in a way that is ultimately helps us sustain ourselves. And we know this. We know that timing is everything. Timing is everything. So if you're going to get money, but you get it at the wrong time and you miss the wrong opportunity to invest it in the right space, in the right spot, or you get the information late, or you don't have access to that particular. There are so many ways. There are so many ways where the potential for parnasa could be disrupted from the process of allocating the parnasa. So that's what we're davening for in Baruch Aleinu. Baruch Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu es Hashana Hazos. This Shana that you decreed what we would get, give it to us day by day with bracha. We are not on an annual salary with a biweekly paycheck from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is not how it works. He did not decide at the beginning of the year, this is the amount of money, and just divides it up and gives it to us, and we fill out the tax return at the end of the year. We have potential access to this account. It can come in ways that are a source of blessing, and it could come in ways that are chas v'shalom a source of tremendous challenge. And so that's what we're davening for every day. Es Hashana Hazos, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the volatility of living a financially responsible existence. Infuse that with bracha. And Es Hashana Hazos, not just the volatility, but the way in which it's distributed, the way in which I experience my parnasa, should be litova, should be positive, and should be wonderful, and should be good. And there are different ways. There are different ways to be able to secure financial help. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided at the beginning of the year how much we would get. Maybe some of that's going to come from tzedakah, because we're going to need tzedakah. Maybe we would rather not need tzedakah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't decide on Rosh Hashanah that he'll give it to us in a paycheck or in tzedakah. He didn't decide that. Just decided this is how much you're going to get. Could be this is what you're going to get because Baruch Hashem, you'll have this chus to hold on to your job and you'll earn it in a salary and that's what you want out of life, if that's what you want. Could be chas v'shalom. That doesn't work out and we'll need to get the sustenance from somewhere else. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not limited in how he can allocate the funding. But what we're davening for is the opportunity to be able to experience the parnasa in a way that gives us a sense of dignity and a sense of shalva, a sense of serenity, and a sense of happiness, and a sense of stability. And that's part of what we're davening for. So to think about the volatility in this bracha, to think about that the world is not a simple place right now, economically, to think about that, and to ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just for more money, but for more stability. And that's part of this, bracha. Es Hashana Hazos, source number 6, Ki Lechol Shana, so he quotes this as well, Yesh Gam, she in the third line, B'matzavo Aruchani Shel Adam, She'ola O Yore B'masav, Mideyom B'yomo, L'chein Nikro Shana, Shtana Lefi Ma'aseyim, L'chein Pasak Adin, Mizonos V'gisham, Shenikro B'Rosh Hashana, Mishtana B'shas Yitzios O'Leopol, B'meshach Hashana P'y Ma'ase Adam. So that's what he writes, he echoes this point. This is Rav Avram ben Agra, son of the Gra. The notion that as we daven each day, even if we were worthy for something on Rosh Hashanah, we still need to summon that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ensure that we remain worthy of such a thing day by day in terms of how that parnasa is experienced by us. And of course, the Sifsei Chaim writes in source number 7, So when we say as Hashana Hazos Tvu Asa, so obviously this bracha was written in a very agricultural society, but the bracha is not just for farmers. Tvu Asa means any form of sustenance, any form of support, any form of parnasa, you know, whether it's produce or whether it's a paycheck, whatever it is. Litova. So says the Siach Yitzchak, source number 8. Kilifamim hashana mevureches ach eina litova. Says sometimes the year is a bountiful year. It's a blessed year, but it's not litova. It's not experienced as positive. Ki yorad shara tvua pramatya pragmatya ve'ein kone ve'ein masu matim ba'olam. Alkenamer litova shia gam shnas masu matim. Hanu kasher yesh ribui miyuchad bekamos ve'echos hayivulim amiyuchadim zulim me'od was mochre atvua niyachol nisparnas mimenu em yardim inichseyim l'chenan mevakshim barech litova shabrachi yebimida kazu shkulim yisvi rason mimena amochim ba'akonim ke'echad. So the Siach Yitzchak says, and again, this is building on the theme we've been developing, the notion that there could be a lot of money. In other words, we could all wake up tomorrow, Kadosh Baruch Hu could bench us with tremendous money. It could be with a lot of, but you know what would happen if we all got a lot of money tomorrow? You know what would happen? What would happen to that money? That money would all go down in value. Right? Because everybody would just raise the price. So is that Shefa? Is that a bracha? We got more. Same thing happens if the farmer gets 10 times as many apples. If all the farmers, if all the apples get 10 times as many apples, then they can't sell their apples. The price of apples will go down. So the farmer sitting there with a lot of apples, the only produce this never happens with is a srogim, obviously, right? The farmer sitting there with a lot of apples, but it doesn't help his bottom line. It doesn't help him feed his family unless they only want to eat apples, right? You can't bring them to market because the price has gone down because there's so much bracha, there's so much apples. So litova means it should be litova for everybody. It should be litova for everybody. There should be a distribution of bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the revach should come in such a way that it is of benefit to me. That it's a benefit to me. And that's so important because sometimes we think that it's all a number. It all just matters. It all just matters what the number is. It doesn't just matter what the number is. It doesn't just matter what the number is. It matters, you know, what in what way the economic growth actually manifests itself in my lifestyle of being able to sustain my family and to move my life forward. And so therefore, we ask at Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what we think about. Baruch, Leinu Hashem, okay, it's a Shana Hazos, this Shana, with all its volatility, bring your bracha to that volatility, the tvua to all aspects of what we gain from it. Allow the Parnasa to be a source of stability, and Litova, allow the Parnasa to be experienced in a way that is of ultimate benefit to how we live our lives. Avnei Elio in source number 9. Sabenu mituvecha. There's actually a discussion in Rishonim what the exact nusach of this is. So perish l'sova v'lo l'ratzon she is baruchu b'me'ev. So b'me'ev. So what does that mean? It means that sabenu mituvecha. We should feel satisfied from your tov. So what do we need? Do we need $1 million? For some of us, $1 million would not satisfy us at all. It would not satisfy us at all because our perceived needs are so far beyond that's not a bracha at all. It helps, but may inch us closer. For some of us, I think for most of us on this Zoom, $1 million would make quite a dent in our life. It would make quite a difference. Sabenu mituvecha. So we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is also part of Parnasa. Let us experience sevia, satisfaction from your tov. Whatever you're giving us, whatever you decide in the end, let us feel satisfied with that. Because let's be honest, if you're satisfied with what you have, you're happy and you're able to move forward in your life, even if it's less than what other people have. And we look at role models who are very satisfied with what they have. And some of them earn much less money, but they seem so happy. They're just happy. They're released from the bonds of constant pursuit of more and more and more and more. They're happy with what they have. Sabeinu mituvecha. So we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, help us experience your tov in a satisfied way. That's also another way in which a Kadosh Baruch Hu can orchestrate or reorchestrate the din of Rosh Hashanah. That whatever we were going to be given, we experience it emotionally and existentially as not enough. So that's a way for us to have gotten a very large allocation at the beginning of the year, but the distribution of it, the experience of it, is very limited. On the other hand, we can be satisfied with very little. So maybe we were zocha, maybe we didn't do such a good job on Elul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You know, this year the rabbi didn't speak long enough. We were in a warehouse. It was hard. It was a rough Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So maybe because of that, we didn't make it as far, and we got a less of an allocation this year. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could inspire us and help us to see satisfaction, to experience satisfaction in what we're getting, then we will not feel like we're missing anything. Now, obviously, there's a lot of avoda that we can do for that, a tremendous amount that really falls on us. We have to work on ourselves, that we are limited in our materialistic sense of need so that we can be satisfied with less. And that's to our own interest. But sometimes the way in which bracha comes can affect whether or not we feel that sense of satisfaction and stability. So that's part of what we are, that's part of what we are davening for. The Siach Yitzchak, source number 10. Kosab, uvarach shnasenu kashanim atavo shelo tia ashpa goremes lanu tarbas ra. Aish min yishurin vayivot. That when we grow fat, when Klal Yisrael grows fat, it kicks. Akein amar kishanim atovos. Amatukanos shayinu v'madrega anivcheres. Kolomar, what does this mean? Anu mevakshim shishana zu, we ask that this year, Tia mevureches kimo hashanim atovos shahayu la'am Yisrael. When we say uvarech shenaseinu kashanim atovos, so what does that mean? So he says it doesn't necessarily mean that bless us like the good years, like the fat years of Gashmius. It means give us the bracha of Parnasa, so the Jewish people can experience their life in the same manner as the good years, when we experienced life in a healthy, spiritual way. That's what he writes. Elon Mavakshim, the five lines for the bottom. Sheyia tova rabba begastra shemimena teitzei tova v'atzlacha ruchnia. So we're asking for sustenance in a way that allows us to extrapolate from that physical sustenance a lifestyle that is healthy for our ruchnias, for our spiritual life as well. And that's what he writes. In the Tefillas Yisrael, in source number 11, he writes, when we say tov be'einecha, what does it mean tov be'einecha? So there are many things that we think are good for us, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows better what's good for us. So as we're davening for this, it's always hard. Like, you know, what number are you davening for? You know, what's the right number? What's the right job? What's the right experience? What's the right constellation of different pieces? So we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be'einecha. We want what's good in your eyes. In your eyes. Something like that, right? Because we want you to tell us, we want you to bless us with what you know is good for us. Excuse me. So that's embedded in the bracha itself. And finally, just source number 13, beautiful Shem Yishmuel, Kashanim Atovos Livracha, and some Nuschos. So he writes that one of the most important aspects of this bracha is the manner in which Parnasa can become a source of chibur, a source of connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. At the end of the day, Parnasa is one of the things in Maseches Tainis that the Gemara writes, is entirely in the domain of the Ribbono Shel Olam. At the end of the day, it's totally in God's control. At the same time, it's the aspect of life that we have the most obligation to move forward on our own, to be able to accomplish things, to be able to support ourselves, to be able to do what we need to do. And it is the key to our being able to live in this world day to day. We're not just talking about health, you know, interventional health, sustaining health. We're talking about our ability to wake up in the morning and do anything, do any of these things requires an ability to sustain ourselves and our families. So to view Parnassa and to view this dynamic, this conversation, this dialogue that's taking place between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this bracha, where the Ribbono Shel Olam has this reservoir of good that he naturally wants to bestow on his people, and that he has even consecrated over the course of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur for his people, this process of accessing that good by looking at our life and being honest with what the source of our sustenance is, with what the volatility and how that is experienced by us says about our recognition of the source of that sustenance, by the way in which we use this money, by the way in which we use this sustenance and how it plays out in our life, it could be such a koach hachibur. Parnassa is not a dirty word. It's not like, oh, we got to get this too. This is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is an Avodas Hashem. This is the bracha where we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're ruling the world. You decide if we wake up in the morning and we have a roof over our head and we have food to eat. You decide. So that recognition, that affirmation that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that recognition that not just the number, but the way we live the number in our lives, that too is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now we have something to daven for. Now we're not just davening. Even though I have a contract that says I get paid X amount of dollars, here I am again at Mincha this afternoon asking you for Baruch Aleinu, even though I know the check's going to come, now we have something to daven for. There are so many layers where that check's going, how that check's being spent, and what's available, and what else is happening, and am I satisfied by what I'm living, or do I always need more, and am I able to elevate this life for ruchani purposes, and am I able to create that sense of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I cash that check no longer in the bank, now on a computer? You know, all of those are part of what we bring to the world of Baruch Aleinu. Okay, wonderful. Be'ezus Hashem. We will see everyone next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.